PNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Morning and welcome. This is the Dr. Trudy Pratt Show, Positively Healthy, and I'm Henry Cuenca. And my show is about passion and inspiration. We examine lives of people who make a compelling difference in our lives. Today's show. Today, nearly 20% of our U.S. population suffers from mental illness. 10% of us live with persistent, serious mental health issues. Today's guest, a mom of two beautiful children, one with autism, the other suffers from anxiety and depression. She is a wife of a medical doctor and herself a doctor of public health. She is magnetically drawn to serving the underserved. She is authoring her first book, Finding Strength to Raise Your Child with Social, Emotional, or Behavioral Challenges. Dr. Crum, I welcome you to my show.
Thank you, Henry.
And how are you today?
I am good. Good. Thank you.
We have a second guest, and the second guest is my godson, and he has an interest in becoming a behavioral optometrist, and I thought it would be a great opportunity for him to meet Dr. Crum. And good morning to you, Sean.
Good morning, and yes, good morning, Dr. Crum.
Good morning to you, Sean. I'm glad you're here with us.
Sean, we're going to get into interviewing you at the later part of the show, but I do welcome you to join us this morning. Mm-hmm. Our call-in number is 530-605-4567. We're going to hold off on responding to the calls till later on the show. I'll give everybody a notice. You can also email questions to us in our live chat, and that is kcnr1460.com. So you can email Dr. Crum your questions, and maybe we'll even get a question or two for Sean. You know, I'm not sure. In any event, Dr. Crum, there is so many segments to your life and major segments. Why don't we start by telling our viewers a little bit about your background, you know, where you were born.
Okay.
And that sort of thing.
Okay.
Family life.
All right. I was born in Southern California, specifically in Upland, California.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great family life. My mom was a nurse, mm-hmm. and worked as a school nurse for many years. And my father was a high school teacher, mm-hmm. had one brother, who is now an aerospace engineer, and I had a really calm, stable childhood.
Mm-hmm. Being a blonde, I guess that qualifies you for a Southern California
exactly. Beach
girl as well.
Yes, to
it?
Some degree, yes. I spent some time at the beach.
And so your brother does what?
He's an aerospace engineer.
Still active in that business.
He is,
uh-huh.
Yes.
And your parents, what are they continuing in their careers? Or?
Well, they're retired, uh-huh. but my mom, I don't know that she'll ever really retire. She is still active, very, very active in Women of Vision, helping the homeless. She is always taking somebody to the doctor, delivering blankets to somebody, serving food to someone. So she's mm-hmm. extremely active in her church and so on.
Doctor, so I presume then that your chosen field of becoming a doctor was largely set by the influence of your family, particularly your mother, I guess.
Maybe so. I never grew up thinking I wanted to be a nurse or wanted to be a doctor. So that all kind of came to me later.
Uh-huh.
But I think deep down, I mean, there was always a lot of compassion in my home.
Uh-huh.
A lot of stability in my home. And my parents my parents had great values, so I think that rubbed off on me.
Mm-hmm. And what were your aspirations as earliest aspirations as a young girl? What did you think that you wanted to grow up to be?
Yeah, you know, I can't really answer that question because I don't think I, when I was a young child, that I wanted to grow up to be anything. I really kind of took it one thing at a time.
Kind of a retired lady, right?
Well, I didn't really think much about it, I don't think, until I got to high school. Uh-huh. And then in high school, I thought I might want to be a physical therapist, uh-huh, or I might want to work with children with disabilities.
Uh-huh.
And I loved writing, so I also thought about being a writer or a journalist.
I see. Well, that's a good start for us. So mm-hmm, we have to take our first commercial break. And again, this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of free fire media. And we're going to be right back.
To make your morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
It's Drake and Bill.
Hey, Drake.
Hey, Bill. Don't you just love sunbathing in the park?
Yeah, Drake, it's so relaxing just soaking up the sun. Better be careful, though. Don't want your bill to get sunburned.
Hey, Bill, you see what I'm seeing?
Oh!
That lady's dog's about to... Oh, no, not there. Oh,
you! Why did you make me look at that?
Oh, no, it's cool. She's prepared. She brought a bag to clean it up. Check it out. Turn the bag inside out. Scoop. All gone. Like it never happened.
Oh, she's smart. Probably knows that if that stuff gets into the storm drains, it's going to pollute rivers and streams.
Ugh, dogs are disgusting.
What Drake and Bill are trying to say is not everyone understands that our storm drains can flow directly into our streams and rivers. Pollutants can cause adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even ducks. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Public Works Stormwater Program.
You worked hard to get to this point. You eat properly and take care of yourself. There are just a few areas that still are giving you problems. That's where we come in. We can help sculpt those trouble spots. Body Genesis. 356-2590. Man made better.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and I have today as my guest Dr. Karen Crum. And Dr. Crum, we were talking about your childhood and some of the, I can see where there was some compassionate influences, mm-hmm, that developed early on in your life. And it sounded like you had a pretty well-balanced childhood and family events. And you mentioned that camping is a family event that you still cherish today.
Yes. Well, it's something that we did when I was a kid that was, I think, really bonding for, uh-huh, our family. I mean, there were sometimes those issues where my brother and I laugh, where the camper, we used to pull a boat behind it and go boating sometimes too, where, you know, dad couldn't get the boat turned in just right, or, uh-huh, you know, you had to level the refrigerator. And so there were some stressful moments in there. Uh-huh. But overall, we had a good time as a family. And,
Doctor, I can tell that you love to be challenged. I mean, you're a critical thinker. To become a physician and involved in so many things and writing a book, you have to use critical thinking. Where did this critical thinking begin in your life?
You know, I don't know exactly where it began. Maybe in high school, probably with some good English teachers, actually, that made, uh-huh, you critically think literature and write.
Uh-huh.
And then in college, I switched and became, started as a journalism major, switched and became a science major. And I learned to really critically think during that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a challenge for me, switching to science, because I had never liked science. I had never really been a scientist.
Isn't that interesting that you made a switch like that?
Yes. Probably part of it was influenced by my husband. Uh-huh. I met my husband. We didn't get married until after college, but I met him my freshman year. And he is passionate about science and scientific principles. And so first time in my life, I found those things really interesting. And
so you decided to, at what point did you decide in your life that you wanted to be a medical doctor?
Well, I'm not actually a medical doctor, so let me clarify.
Okay,
I have
good.
A doctorate in public health in preventive care, although my training was similar. I mean, my training the first 2 years of my doctoral program were similar to what a medical doctor goes through, all the sciences, mm-hmm. learning all about the body, and then just focusing the last 2 years on health instead of pathology. So your question was, when did I decide to pursue that?
Was there kind of an aha moment that said, this is what I'm going to do?
You know, I wish I could say there was, and this is probably one of my weaknesses, is that there are so many things that I'm interested in, and I had a hard time really deciding what to do.
Really?
Really. I knew that I wanted to help people mm-hmm. and looked at a variety of different fields, ended up, you know, getting my master's in health science, mm-hmm. and worked in cardiac rehab, helped people in that arena. Mm-hmm. I think when I decided to keep moving on is when I noticed that, you know, making good health decisions was not easy for people. Mm-hmm. That we can know what's healthy for us, but not always follow through with that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think I went to get my doctorate in public health, because I could do a focus on health psychology there. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, a passion of mine.
Tell us about your educational background, how this all started, and the courses that you went through and the schools that you went to get to where you are today.
Okay. Well, I got a bachelor's of science at Pepperdine University, and that was in health and sports science, actually. Oh, they called it sports medicine at the time, I believe.
Oh, they don't call it sports medicine anymore.
No. Okay. There's a different name, because I don't think that was probably the best name for it. But it was kind of an alternative. People who were going to go to medical school, either you were a biology major or you were a sports medicine major. So it kind of prepared you to go down that path, all the sciences, you know, chemistry, physics, all those things. Mm-hmm. Then my husband was admitted to medical school. He went to medical school the year before. He was a year older than me, so he graduated. And so I followed him there, worked for a year, and ended up working for the Bowman Gray School of Medicine as a research assistant, working with children who had attention deficit disorder and doing brain research, basically. I really enjoyed that and ended up pursuing a master's there in health and sports science as well, although I was very close to going into a program, a doctoral program in neuropsychology. That was my other option. But I was kind of steered by some people that they thought the master's in health science would be more marketable. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of one of my decisions. But and then later on went to get my doctorate at Loma Linda University mm-hmm. in Southern California.
Do you have other educational pursuits on the agenda that you want to accomplish?
Oh, my. You know, I love learning. So I don't know. Someday maybe I might go back and get an MSW or Master's in Counseling possibly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But probably not. Probably, I think I've probably had enough education. I just need to be using it.
So if I ask you when you grow up,
yes,
and what your vision for the future when you grow up would be, you may not clearly respond to that.
No, I kind of wing it, because I've learned that life does not always take you in the direction you had planned. I mean, I did have some plans early on of things I was going to do with my career, which, you know, life took me a different direction, mm-hmm. and so.
So what were those changes in direction that occurred that took your life into a different area?
Well, when I was working on my doctorate, my daughter, who was 2 at the time, started exhibiting some concerning behaviors. She became really anxious, didn't want to, you know, talk to people anymore, would run away from people when they talked to her, and just some, you know, exhibiting some things that were concerning, and I really pursued getting a diagnosis because she has high-functioning autism. We later found out when she was about 3 and a half, but she functioned so well that she wasn't diagnosed for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. So this manifestation occurred when she was about 2 years old.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so once I found out it was autism and I found out what you need to do with young children with autism, again, this was 20 years ago when there was not a lot of services.
A whole lot going on.
Yeah, not a lot going on at all. So I basically was able to get a deferral, and they let me, the University of Loma Linda let me take 4 years off, and I basically switched my whole major, and I researched autism.
I see. This is very, very interesting information, but we do need to take another break, and we're going to be right back. Again, this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Wow, that's a nice new refrigerator.
Thanks. Just got it delivered.
You bought a new GE refrigerator in this economy? Must have been expensive.
Nope.
Did you buy it at one of those used appliances stores?
Does it look like a used refrigerator to you?
Well, you didn't get it at a yard sale, did you?
Seriously, you think I would do that?
So what? Did you steal it from a model home?
Almost. I bought it at Appliances Direct. They sell new, high-quality GE appliances, as well as new, heavily discounted GE scratch and dent appliances.
Yeah, but does it come with a warranty?
That's the best part. At Appliances Direct, they have the full GE factory warranty, even on the GE scratch and dents.
Well, can they deliver if I need it?
Oh, yeah. They brought it out the very same day. They hooked it up and made sure everything works just perfect. They'll even take away your old appliances.
Same-day delivery and haul away? Wow.
Yeah, can you believe it? Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to Appliances Direct to buy a new GE washer and dryer.
Ask them about their easy financing options.
Appliances Direct, your big box alternative store. Appliances Direct at the end of South Market, 244-1600.
Bringing a firearm into your home is one of the most important decisions you can make. If you are considering gun ownership, CheaperThanDirt.com is here to help you make a responsible and informed choice. We understand it is a personal decision how you choose to protect your family. We offer thousands of choices of firearms, ammunition, and accessories to suit your individual needs. Be responsible, be proactive, and exercise your Second Amendment right. Find us online at CheaperThanDirt.com. That's CheaperThanDirt.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Okay, welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca, and we have as our guest Dr. Karen Crum. And, Doctor, we were talking about some major changes in your life when your daughter was diagnosed. And so can you continue telling us a little bit more how this impacted your life.
Sure. Well, it turned my world completely upside down. Completely upside down. Because at that point, I did have plans, you know, to graduate, get my doctorate, and I was going to go into the business of, you know, health behavior change and, you know, lifestyle change, I guess, helping people make good choices. And all of a sudden, I found myself having to really get into the autism reach literature because there was nobody around that can help me. There was no autism specialist. There was no autism programs. So I read and found out about early behavioral intervention. Mm-hmm. And so I set myself to, you know, accomplish that in our home. So mm-hmm. I did.
So you were breaking the ground in this whole area then?
Well, I guess I was in a sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least in terms of bringing about interventions or resources for families.
Mm-hmm.
So I hired people. Actually, I would train college students, mm-hmm. put out, you know, notice at the college newspaper or whatever, and students that were interested in working with a child who had autism.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, I would go through the research and train them, and we set up a plan of what we were going to do, and, mm-hmm. and they did it when I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about having a child with autism and many disabilities, but specifically with autism, it's extremely time-consuming because you really need to, you know, almost 24/7 keep that child engaged,
mm-hmm.
learning. You don't want to let them go off into their corner and mm-hmm. do video games or watch TV or whatever
sure.
long at all.
Understood.
So it was exhausting, especially because of my personality. I think mm-hmm. it was exhausting because I was used to being at a university,
mm-hmm.
and here I was, you know, like preschool director.
Yeah. Very interesting, right.
Yeah, and I mean, I loved my daughter, right. but I didn't love being a preschool director, you know.
So this obviously had a change of course in not only emotionally, but for the works for the future.
Definitely, yeah. And I am a person, I mean, I am a passionate person. it's very difficult for me to work in an area I'm not passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
So I became passionate about autism and realized how few services there were. Because it was considered a low incidence disorder. When my daughter was identified, it was 1 in 10,000.
You know, there were recent reports that saying that that the autism rate has increased, you know, to like 1 out of 80 or something like that.
Yes. And so, yeah, 20 years later, it's depending on where
what's causing this?
No one knows for sure.
Part
of it is we're probably getting more diagnoses because someone like my daughter, you know, 40, 30 years ago, probably wouldn't have been diagnosed as having autism because it's relatively mild. She would have just been, you know, considered difficult or quirky or, you know, something like that. So part of it is that, and part of it, there may be some things in our environment that weren't here in our environment in large quantities 30 years ago.
And those are basically the theories then, I guess, right?
Yes.
It's an environmental.
Yes, and a genetic predisposition with an you know, environmental trigger at this point is the consensus.
So in the opening of the show, we talked about you're magnetically drawn to helping the underserved, and that a major segment of our majority or a very big segment of our population suffers from mental illness.
Yes.
And that you're drawn to this, and that to have mental illness, there aren't the services that are provided for these folks. And you embrace yourself in this whole dynamic of serving these people.
Yes. Well, it's just, and maybe this goes back to my public health background. Maybe it goes back to my public health background in that I want all segments of the population to have the health care they need and to get what they need. And so, yes, it bothers me when I found out how underfunded the mental health system is.
Doctor, we have a caller right now. So a caller wants to ask you a question. So let's take this caller. John.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. This question is for Dr. Crump.
Crump. Yes, I do.
Please go ahead.
Good morning, Dr. Crump.
Good morning, John.
The strain on couples who are the parents of an autistic child are enormous, and I understand that the rate of breakup among these families is also enormous, which really calls into existence the need for your services. Are you able to counsel these people? I mean, you must be because you're involved in the situation yourself, successfully and you know, support these marriages that are having trouble because of this?
Well, yes. I mean, I think any parent that has gone through this or any family that has gone through it and that the family has remained intact and the marriage has remained intact is somewhat qualified to do, you know, counseling with others. It's just the fact of meeting other people in the same situation and talking to them and learning how they're walking through it and they share so many difficulties strengthens the marriage and makes you feel like you're not alone and you can kind of give each other a break when you're not dealing well because of all the pressures.
Can you comment on the statistics on this?
You know, it is a higher rate of divorce. I don't know exactly what it is. I just haven't looked at that recently, but I think it's probably about 75%.
That's enormous.
Yes, and you know, 50% is normal for our population.
Right. Yeah. And there's a kind of a subliminal guilt involved in this.
Oh, guilt is involved in this. Sometimes it's genetic guilt. You feel guilty for having the wrong genes, which, of course, you have no control over. Sometimes, you know, parents oftentimes, before a diagnosis, are felt to feel like they're doing something wrong and that they could fix this if they were better parents, which is not true.
And then they start blaming one another.
Yes, and the stresses of, we start blaming one another and who's going to help this situation.
John, we're going to have to break
fine.
Right now from you.
Thank you for
but
the
I would
question.
I would say
I
that John, she is publishing a book, and if you stay tuned, and you'll be able to find out more. So thank you for calling, John.
Thank you.
So doctor, we're talking about mental health and the need for services since such a big portion of our population. So how are the resources being beginning to be made available to serve people?
Well, there are public resources who are, you know, out there for people who may not have good insurance to cover that, but there's usually long, long waiting lines, long waiting lists. They're not able to be seen and treated in an intense enough manner to make a difference. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stigma as well associated with mental illness, not so much autism anymore, but especially mental illness, so that people do not seek treatment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's estimated that from the time a person has symptoms to the time they seek treatment is, on the average, 10 years.
Well, that's a long period. It's a long period, right.
So one of my goals is to decrease
shorten that time
and get people to get help, uh-huh. because these are very treatable things.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Doctor, we're going to need to take a break, but I'm going to ask you a question now, and I want you to try to define for us what mental illness is, and we're going to ask you that question when we return from our break. And again, this is Henry Cuenca at KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Redding restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Redding to find our website.
Hi, I'm Jeff Hess with Hawkins Companies, a family-owned business for over 35 years. Part of our goal when coming into a community is to add economic development. In addition, we try to identify community problems and provide solutions. For instance, Sheriff Pasinko and a number of Redding police officers have indicated the need for additional jail space. Our retail developments, such as Sportsman's Warehouse, will earmark thousands of dollars for public safety. We appreciate all of your support.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back again. This is Henry Cuenca, a show on passion, and Dr. Karen Crum. Doctor, we had asked you to help us define what mental illness really is. I mean, 20% of the population is mentally ill. So could you define it for us?
I will try to do that. Now, there's some controversy about what mental illness really is, and I guess it's because some of the illnesses we know are clearly biological. They're, you know, brain-based. We can identify some genetic tendencies. We can identify neurotransmitters, those sort of things. And those sorts of things are depression, anxiety, bipolar, OCD, schizophrenia, some of the more serious illnesses. Of course, then there's people who go into, you know, to speak to a counselor and just need some help. You know, they may have a tendency to be anxious or a tendency to be depressed, but you wouldn't necessarily call them mentally ill. And of course, mm-hmm. you have to meet a criteria if you go into the doctor mm-hmm. that the social, emotional, or behavioral symptoms are enough to warrant mm-hmm. a diagnosis, mm-hmm. you know, that they really alter your life.
Doctor, you say that 10% of the population mm-hmm. suffers from severe depression. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well, and severe mental illness, I guess, as a
whole.
I'm
sorry, right.
Yeah, that's all right. That's just people who it alters their life every day. You know, they wake up every day and have to deal with this situation. And it's very physical, and it affects you physically. It doesn't just affect your behavior, but it affects how you feel and how much energy you have. And so those are people who really need to be under the care of a physician at all times and probably benefit the most from medication, ongoing medication, and mm-hmm. need that. Mm-hmm. But you know what? people do so well. I mean, there are people all around you. 10% of the public around you is functioning that way. So we have doctors, lawyers, counselors, business people, in all walks of society, people can do really, really well. And then there's some who do not respond as well to treatment.
So, doctor, no doubt you've had many experiences with many people that currently have this.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of transformations have you seen in working with these people? And the stress that is imposed on the family.
Oh, yeah. I've just seen many examples. One, I know of a gentleman who was not diagnosed that he was bipolar until he was probably in his mid-50s. Prior to that, the upheaval in the family was, horrific. I mean, he was, when he would get into a manic phase, he would become very angry, abusive, really was tearing the family apart. Once he got put on medication, he became the wonderful person that this wife had married.
It was a simple fix like that?
It sometimes can be a simple fix, yes, uh-huh. Getting on the right medication. Now, oftentimes, the best form of treatment is medication combined with therapy so that you when you've got a mental illness, your thoughts are altered and you may believe things that aren't true, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So it's good to have someone guide you through a thinking process as well. But yes, sometimes just medication alone can turn people's lives around. I've seen mm-hmm. that many, many times.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, is this an increasing number of the U.S. population that suffer from this, or are we just becoming aware of the fact that we've been at this 20% for decades or centuries?
Yes. As far as I know, it's not increasing. I think we're much more aware of it, and we used to just call people, nutty, that was my crazy aunt, or right. that was my quirky, brother, or... maybe just someone that can't care, an alcoholic maybe. And we know that, uh-huh. A lot of times people self-medicate uh-huh. with alcohol uh-huh. if they don't get a proper diagnosis. So,
doctor, you think that there's anything in the social aspect of living that is promoting this or furthering the influence of these folks that have these issues?
Well, I think, society certainly influences us quite a bit. And our society specifically is a pretty high pressure society, and we are getting more children that are being diagnosed with mental illness now, and it's possibly because we expect much more from children than we did, years ago. I mean, when I was in college and was a good student, we didn't even have AP classes in my high school. Now, there are. So some of it's the pressure, but those are just triggers. If there's an inherent mental illness
uh-huh.
under, it'll show up one way or another. Uh-huh. But I think we see it earlier now because of broken homes and, just situations that uh-huh. make it happen earlier.
Are there higher degrees of this illness for folks that are, alcoholics or on drugs? Or would we say that that's part of the mental state to start with if somebody's on drugs? Or alcoholism?
Well, it can go either way. We do know that if you have alcoholism in your family background, that you're more likely to be diagnosed with a mental illness. Mm-hmm. So if you had parents, grandparents that were alcoholics, they may truly have been bipolar or severely depressed. They sought help by themselves because, especially in the past, it was really... people considered it a weakness if you were going to go to the doctor and get help for
psychological
problems.
Stigma, absolutely.
Yeah, and,
no question.
People kind of want to just say, well, just buck up.
Right.
Just think positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's impossible. And it's kind of like telling your pancreas to make more insulin, more insulin. Start, dealing with these calories and things. You just can't make it happen.
Dr. Crum, my little godson here wants to ask you a question. So, Sean, go ahead.
Yes, I do have a question about how does this depression thing affect a kid? Because I do have a friend that does have this.
Wow, that's a really good question, Sean. And, that's a really good question because depression in children does not typically look like depression in adults. So kids won't just lay around, and look and talk depressed. They actually usually act out and have behavior problems. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of make, they maybe... become a little bit of bullies, or they yell at people, yell at their parents, they become difficult. Mm-hmm. But that's how kids show depression usually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Doctor, we're going to need to take another break right now. So all of you hang on, and we'll be right back. Again, this is KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. Thank you.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Moore from Moore's Flour Mill, and I'd like to clear up some confusion. Measure B has nothing to do with the proposed shopping mall on Knighton Road. Measure B is an extreme measure that would dictate what hundreds of private property owners can or cannot do with their land. Measure B is supposed to protect farming, but if it passes, I won't be able to expand my organic farm in Cherry Creek Bottom or allow the public to buy fresh milled grain products at the farm. So please, vote no on Measure B. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the shopping mall.
Paid for by Moore's Flour Mill.
Satisfied customers are really important to us here at Crown, like Lindy Silva of Redding. Lindy tells us, I wanted a new Ford Mustang, so I came to Crown. I got exactly what I wanted and saved some money. I call her Ellie. I love it. Thanks, Lindy. You and Ellie are welcome at Crown anytime. Check us out at crownmotorsredding.com. And remember, as dealers, we all pay the same for these vehicles. The difference is what we'll sell them for.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Slow down. Welcome back. This is Henry Cuenca with Dr. Karen Crum. Doctor, we had a caller who had a question that how do you notice these symptoms of mental illness within a family?
Okay, that's a very good question, very important question. Some of these illnesses develop in early adulthood and some develop later in adulthood, some in childhood, you know. So they're going to look different depending on what the age is. For children, you will likely see they may withdraw more, not want to talk to people as much, spend a lot of time in their room. You might see that with teenagers as well. Inconsistent school reports, so sometimes they're really on top of it. Sometimes their grades just drop for no reason. Kids who seem overexcitable or act out a lot, running away.
Some of these symptoms seem to parallel a kid that's taking marijuana or something.
They do. And oftentimes what you'll find is a kid that starts running away and, you know, partying, they'll leave the house, maybe sneak out at night, and they'll be partying. A lot of times, many times, you'll find that child actually has a mental illness. Oftentimes bipolar, you'll see that really acting out behavior. Mm-hmm. And so it can look the same. But I guess the point is, don't just assume your child's on drugs. If you're coming up with this kind of behavior, you need to get an evaluation.
Right. Yeah. Doctor, could you touch on some of the services or organizations that you work with in the area in helping folks?
Yeah, I would love to. We'll start with what I did 10 years ago. I founded SLATE, Successful Living with Autism, through training and education. And that is a program under Rowell Family Empowerment. And that is a social, emotional, therapeutic program for children with autism, from ages about 3 to 18. So that's one, and you can call Rowell Family Empowerment to get that information.
I had their on the show last week.
Yes, that's right.
Uh-huh.
And they
last month.
They serve families, work with parents who have children of all different disabilities. So they are a very good resource for families. Mm-hmm. The other resource that is really undertapped is Shasta County NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There's a chapter here, and you can go online and get lots of information and attend the meetings. And it's amazing how much you can learn about the illness that will help your family or your child do much, much better and get the right kind of treatment.
Doctor, what fuels you? You have an enormous amount of compassion. This is not a profit-making undertaking.
No.
So what fuels you?
I want to, you know, I don't like to see people suffering, I guess. I don't like to see people suffering and not getting the help that they need. Mm-hmm. So I want to do as much as I can in my life to decrease decrease suffering and have people see joy and peace in their lives.
Mm-hmm. So there must be tremendous gratification when you see people that you work with and that you help and you see them benefit. There must be a tremendous amount of gratification to you.
You know, there is a lot of gratification, but I am always, and this I guess is just my personality or my nature, but I'm always looking to do more. And I get upset when justice is not done, when there's a system that doesn't work for families. Mm-hmm. And people with mental illness, sometimes systems get so big that they work against us rather than with us.
Sure.
So there's so much that still needs to be done that I get great satisfaction, but I never feel like it's enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Doctor, what do you think about very first thought when you wake up in the morning?
Oh, wow, that's interesting. I usually will say a prayer the first thing I wake up in the morning and, you know, just ask God to help me be peaceful and calm during the day and to, you know, tame my anxiety too, because I have a family where there's special needs, so I have anxiety around that and sometimes anxiety about my work and situations. Mm-hmm. So that's usually
the first time. Was there spirituality in your family growing up?
Yes. I grew up in a Christian home.
Uh-huh.
And went to a Christian college.
Uh-huh.
So, but I have to say that my Christianity didn't really develop, I wouldn't say, until I got into my 30s and my child was diagnosed with autism.
Let's talk about the book that you're putting together.
Okay.
Where did the idea come from?
That's interesting. I was in a period, when I started writing the book, I was in a period of time where I'd been really, really working really hard with my daughter with autism on services, and I was doing part-time homeschooling, and I became really exhausted. I think by the time I started writing the book, she was doing better, and we had a routine around homeschool, and she was taking some classes at schools as well. But I was too exhausted to really go out and do a lot, maybe with the organizations that I worked with, that sort of thing. And I felt bad about that, and I thought, what can I do to be helpful when I'm in this state that I'm so exhausted? I really had, like, chronic fatigue. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I can start writing. And so
drawing on your old journalism background.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. And I started writing. I realized, oh yeah, I like writing. I haven't done that in a while. So I just thought, you know, I went through so many things and spiritual questions, just a great deal of, spiritual pain, I guess I would say, and just emotional pain dealing with this in my family. And there was no resource that I could go to. Mm-hmm. So I started writing the book that I wish I had had, you know.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a perfect model then.
Yeah. So the book that I wish I had been able to read when uh-huh. my child was first diagnosed to give me some peace and some
uh-huh.
hope
uh-huh.
and some comfort.
So tell us about your book and the release date and what the book's about.
All righty. Well, it's called Persevering Parent: Finding Strength to Parent or to Raise Your Child with Social, Emotional, or Behavior Disorders. So it's for parents who have children with all kinds of disorders that affect behavior
mm-hmm.
and, you know, or social, emotional functioning. And it's really, I kind of think of it as sort of a hug, a written hug for mm-hmm. parents going through this process. It will make them feel understood.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so many people that have said, people who have read at least drafts of part of the book have said, oh, my goodness, were you in my living room? You know,
oh, my goodness.
The things I described.
So it resonates with a lot of
people.
The
very same things that go on in their home. And so that's comforting. And then just walking them through the things that I know you go through as a parent, through grief and you know, if you're feeling sorry for yourself. And
Doctor, the book is going to be published, like, what kind of a timeline?
You know, it's still going to be about 10 months out from now.
Uh-huh.
I'm just doing the final touches on the book, and then it'll go to the publisher, and it'll take about 10 months for
and
it to
And I hope you have some local publicity for sign and greet people when the book is actually
published. Yeah, I'm sure all those things will have to...
I would look forward to that.
Those things will have to happen.
Okay, we need to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to ask Sean some questions, some final wrap-up questions to Dr. Crum. So, again, this is Henry Cuenca, KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. Thank you.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
You worked hard to get to this point. You eat properly and take care of yourself. There are just a few areas that still are giving you problems. That's where we come in. We can help sculpt those trouble spots. Body Genesis. 356-2590. Man made better.
Time to clean your home or office carpets? Looking for a company you can trust? Hex Carpet Care has the best in carpet care technology, but with old-fashioned customer service. They pride themselves with no broken promises. They do what they say. They are built off of referrals. They're the company you feel good about referring. Hex Carpet Care is locally owned and operated, offering same and next day appointments. No job is too big or too small. Give us a call, 710-6267. That's 710-6267. Hex Carpet Care. Simply the best.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community radio for the North State.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome back. And we're going to make a quick transition here to speak to Sean Cloud. And the reason that I invited Sean, aside from the obvious, is that his interest in optometry, and Dr. Karen Crum's husband is an ophthalmologist. So,
yeah.
So Sean, can you tell us a little bit about you, where you live, and your family?
Yes. Well, I do live in Shingletown, just right above Reading. And,
and you're how old, mm-hmm. Sean?
I am 12.
And you go to what school do you go to?
It's called Black Butte Junior High School.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you have seventh grade?
Mm-hmm.
And you have an interest in eyes, I guess?
Yes.
Right? And tell us how that interest started.
Well, because when I was little, I had no peripheral vision at all.
Uh-huh.
It's just what is it called?
Just real narrow vision?
Yes. Yes, narrow vision.
Mm-hmm.
And when I didn't really, I thought that was normal. So,
right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I was always really clumsy. I tripped around a lot because mm-hmm. I didn't see very much.
Well, sure.
Right.
So, yeah.
So that helped you define that you would someday like to go in that field and help other children, I suppose.
Yes.
So you're interested in some sort of optometry, I think you said?
Yes.
And what kind of, any specific interest?
Yes, what they call behavioral optometry, like Visual therapy, basically.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know there are people who have gotten benefit from that. And mm-hmm. that certain people get benefit from wearing certain kind of glasses as well, different colored glasses and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sean, I want to thank you for being on our show today. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to do a little treat for you after the show.
Thank you, Sean. You've done a great job.
Yes, thank you for letting me on.
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Crum, coming back to you, if you were to create a personal mission statement for yourself, which you may already have done, what would it sound like?
Well, I think it would sound something like, and I know I have not written one recently. I don't tend to be real specific about it in terms of writing it out, but, you know, I really would like to live like Jesus lived. I would really like love to be the over, you know, the biggest thing I leave on this earth, I guess. And when people meet me, I hope that that's what they see and that they don't see me, but they see God's love through me. I have the same for my children, you know. There's just such a peace from walking that way and from recognizing that this world is not about me and not about what I do, but it's about my Creator and what he has done and, you know, made this earth so beautiful in so many ways, and that the things that aren't beautiful will be redeemed. You know, the things that are difficult will be worth it. Right. And
well, Doctor, that is a that is just a profound mission statement. But you know, I think maybe you better think of another one because I already think of you that way. So you are a very compelling individual and. Lead so much with your heart and compassion in the challenges that you've gone through your life. And I'd like to just ask just one other question, mm-hmm. and that is about your husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, your husband is very much part of the team. He's a doctor himself. Could mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about him?
Sure. He is an incredible stabilizing force in our family, and he's calm. He's really fun. He has a great sense of humor. And I tend to be passionate, but my passion also drives me to anxiety sometimes, you know, and to doing too much. And he's the one that says, let's relax. Let's go take a walk. You know, let's mm-hmm. go do something fun. He'll crack a joke, take the tension out of the room. You know, he's been wonderful for my children. He's a, you know, a very faithful person, a leader himself.
Mm-hmm. And he's a local ophthalmologist.
He's a local ophthalmologist, uh-huh. and a good one at that.
Well, he's my eye doctor. uh-huh. And he's just wonderful.
And, you know, this situation in our family with our children has made him more compassionate mm-hmm. to people in all walks of life. Mm-hmm. You know, we're both much less quick to judge why a certain person is acting this way. Mm-hmm. So I think his patience has increased. He was always a patient person, but I think right. by leaps and bounds since this happened.
So I'm sure he fully supports all of your endeavors.
He does. Yeah. He does.
We may have time for one caller. So if you have a question to ask Dr. Crum, you can call 605-4567. So, actually, you can call to ask Sean a question as well. Mm-hmm. So, Doctor, I want to thank you not only for appearing on the show, but thank you for the work that you do in the community. Mm-hmm. In this society, there's a lot of deteriorating fragments. And we need people that do more building than taking away.
Yeah.
And so I know that that there are many people whose lives that you touch and many more whose lives you're going to touch, that you actually change people's lives. And we need that. So I thank you from that perspective.
Well, thank you. And I do feel I can't take the credit for that. I appreciate that. But, you know, I've only changed people's lives because God has changed my life. And it's, you know, I just see him working through so many people And it's not coincidence, you know. So I don't take their credit for that, but I appreciate that anyway.
Give me my coffee back. Thank you, listeners, very much. And thank you, Sean Cloud and Dr. Karen Crum. And this is the end of our show today, and we'll speak to you again.
Fox News Radio, I'm Hank Weinblum. He's now officially running for re-election. President Obama, who's been kind of officially running for months, kicked off his campaign a few minutes ago at Ohio State.
We are going to win this thing the old-fashioned way, door by door, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood.
Even before today's speech, Republicans were saying this president doesn't have a whole lot of positive to run on.
His message should be that he failed, and he shouldn't be deserving of re-election. In fact, he's not deserving of even continuing in the job at this point.
Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty. An Amber Alert's been issued by the Mississippi Highway Patrol for three sisters ages 8 to 14 and their mother believed to have been kidnapped. The alert says Joanne Bain and her children are believed to be with a man named Adam Mays and are said to be in extreme danger. He's called himself the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four co-defendants go